Southern California College Training, July 6 through 12, 2009, Sacramento, California. Title, Christ Lives in Me. Evening Session, Message 2, The Revelation of God's Son in Us. Scripture reading, Galatians 1:11 through 16.
Look away, oh look away, look to Jesus today. Look away from everything unto Jesus, look away from everything to Him. Tonight we come to the revelation of God's Son in us.
Amen.
The revelation of Christ in us. And the whole burden of the whole training is, Christ lives in me.
Amen.
How about we shout that two times? Christ lives in me.
Christ lives in me.
We're not here just to talk about a doctrinal Christ. But we want to be brought into the reality. Christ lives in me. Christ drives in me.
Amen.
Christ speaks in me.
Amen.
Christ says amen in me.
Amen.
Christ smiles in me.
Amen.
Christ lives in me.
Amen.
How many of you really want the experience day by day of Christ living in you?
Amen.
The experience of Christ living in you depends upon revelation. The key to living is seeing. The key to experiencing Him living in us is Him being revealed in us. Him being revealed in us. Then we can really enjoy Christ lives in me.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, this is marvelous. Christ lives in me. You know, the revelation of Christ in us, brothers and sisters, you know, it says, but when it pleased God to separate, who called me out, you know, from my mother's womb, according to His grace, to reveal His Son in me, 1:16, that I might announce Him as the gospel. That revelation of Christ, the Son of God, is not just once for all, but that revelation is over and over and over and over again. When the Apostle Paul was called, he gave a testimony near the end of his life in chapter 26 of Acts, and he was giving a testimony, I think it was to Agrippa or Felix, one of them, but anyway, he said that the Lord, when He appeared to him, said, I will make you a minister and a witness according to the things in which I have appeared to you and according to the things in which I will appear to you, indicating that the revelation of Christ in us is something progressive.
Amen.
On one hand, there is a solid base, a solid beginning. And that solid beginning may just be calling on the name of the Lord and being baptized into the triune God, exercising our spirit. But Christ revealed in us is progressive.
Amen.
And the more He's revealed, the more He can live.
Amen.
I think the Lord knows, but one of the most vivid experiences of enjoying Christ living in me, and I've mentioned this to you perhaps, but I don't mind mentioning it again. But coming out of Russia in 1993, and on this plane, I'm sitting beside this very accomplished engineer from Sweden, and the first stop was Stockholm. And he was telling me, I'd ask him some questions, and he was telling me about what he'd been doing for 3 weeks, and I'd been there 3 weeks. And I realized he's very knowledgeable, very accomplished, and very intelligent person. Then he asked me what I do. I said, well, I used to be a school teacher, But I said, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I serve Him full time. And I just said that much. The word Jesus Christ did not go over well with him. And there was just this invisible wall that went up between us, and written on the wall very clearly was, I do not want to hear one more word about Jesus Christ. That was a very clear attitude expressed. But about 10 minutes out of the airport, as we're descending, we hit the worst turmoil or turbulence I have ever been in a plane. And I fly a lot. And I think everybody on the plane figured this is our last flight. People were screaming and stuff is going up. And it was terrible. And right in the middle of that, I just turned to him and I said, you know what? I said, there's only one person in the entire universe that went into death, through death, and swallowed up death in victory. I said, that is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I said, you know what? He lives in me.
Amen.
And I'm not afraid to die. Amen. And he just said, yeah. Well, all of a sudden, the turbulence stopped. The plane calmed down. But the passengers, they were all crazy, you know. And the pilot was speaking so loud you couldn't hear anybody, even the person next to you, trying to calm everyone down. We never got to talk after that. But he won't forget that. I won't forget that. But I'm so happy. Christ lives in me!
Amen.
You better tell your neighbor, hallelujah, Christ lives in me!
Hallelujah, Christ lives in me!
The enjoyment and experience of Christ living in me comes from the revelation of Christ in us. So revelation is a great, great, great matter, brothers and sisters. You know, the first Roman numeral says, God's Son is versus man's religion. Let's read those verses because they're really worthwhile to read, 11 to 16 of chapter 1, Galatians. God's Son is versus man's religion. Pick that up. God's Son, who is just God Himself. When you say God's Son, don't think of two separate entities. They're distinct but not separate. Even when the Son was on the earth, He said, you see me, you see the Father. I and the Father are one.
Yeah.
Let's read 11 through... Well, let's sisters read 11, brothers say amen at the end, and brothers 12. Go.
Lord, I may come to you, brother.
Read a little bit stronger. You want to really make known to the brothers.
Amen.
Lord, I may come to you, brother. Amen.
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 For neither did I receive it from man, nor was I. But I received it through a revelation by Jesus Christ. Amen. And I advanced in Judaism. Beyond many contemporaries, my race, being more abundantly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
What do you see in these verses? God's Son versus man's religion.
Amen.
Paul was a zealot. He was so zealous. He was a person full of religion. And the religion defined at that time was Judaism. Judaism. But he was describing his manner of life prior to that. But what changed him? What changed him? Verse 12. Neither did I receive it from man. That's the gospel. That's the gospel that I'm announcing to you. Neither did I receive it from man, nor was I taught it. But I received it through a revelation.
Amen.
By Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Paul was a person who was living Christ, announcing Christ, because of the revelation of Christ. And many of you may not be that familiar with it, but I'd like all of you to open to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 is a very precious, condensed version of Paul's vanquishing conversion. His vanquishing conversion. Look how religious Paul was. Brothers and sisters, we don't want to be wishy-washy, and at least he wasn't that. Look at verse 1. He was breathing threatening and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He was not messing around. I'm for religion! He was a zealot. Even murdering people who said anything about Jesus Christ. So his burden was everywhere he went to attack the believers. And then he's on his way to Damascus, verse 3. Suddenly a light shined from heaven, flashing around him. And what happened? He fell on the ground. Heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And rise up. Oh, sorry. And he said, who are you, Lord? So he was knocked down. The voice is speaking, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he says, who are you, Lord? Just say, Lord.
Lord!
As soon as he said, Lord, he got saved. Who is the one who wrote the most verses about whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved?
Paul.
So he said, who are you? Lord! How about we all say Lord?
Lord!
And the Lord entered into him. And he said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. And his view of Jesus was a view of this basically a liar and somebody who was just a strange man. But at this point in time, when he was knocked to the ground and he gave his undivided attention to God and he was watching Channel 1 of the heavenly TV, and the divine revelation was being televised into his being. He was becoming very clear of the difference between God's Son and man's religion. He realized he was the walking embodiment of man's religion. And he was versus God's Son. He was versus God's Son. And it was very clear to him in this vanquishing conversion where he realized, wow. He said, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. And he realized this Jesus is not just a little insignificant strange man who lived on the earth and there's lies told about him. But this Jesus who was crucified, who is the very Son of God, had definitely been resurrected because he was listening to him. And there was an inward realization, this person is living. Not only is he living, but he said, why do you persecute me? He realized, wow, He's not only living in the heavens, but this one has become a life-giving spirit, and that's what he wrote about. This one has become the spirit, and he's not only living there, but he's living in all these ones that I'm killing, that I'm persecuting. This is Jesus.
Amen.
This Jesus is awesome.
Amen.
This Jesus is the head in the heavens.
Amen.
And this Jesus is the body on the earth.
Amen.
This is a wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Anyway, because of that revelation, Paul was able to write book after book. Half of the books of the New Testament, 27 books, half of them were written by Paul under God's inspiration. Why? Because of his dynamic, vanquishing conversion. So that all of us could see the contrast. We don't need to go through exactly what he went through, but we can learn from his experience. And the Lord could help us to all have a vanquishing conversion even through his conversion, through his testimony. All of us could be converted from man's religion to God's Son.
Amen.
If you leave us alone, we're all saturated and permeated with religion. It's in our blood. And brothers and sisters, what's religion? Remember we mentioned last night? It's the worship of God without the experience and the enjoyment of Christ. Wow. Oh. The enjoyment of Christ is completely different from man's religion. God's desire is that we would enjoy His Son. The father in Luke 15, when the prodigal came home, he said, "Let us eat and be merry." I don't want a religious son coming home. I want you to enjoy me.
Amen.
I want you to enjoy. I'm not for religion. I'm that you would eat and be merry.
Amen.
Be consumed with my son as the fattened calf. Okay. Well, Roman numeral 1, God's Son is versus man's religion. And you can see that by Paul's vanquishing conversion, he was receiving revelation after revelation. But it was not just that time. It was through a period of time. And brothers and sisters, you received a certain amount of revelation the very day you got saved, even if it was as a little kid. And a certain amount of revelation, maybe at a little conference somewhere. Maybe summer school of the truth. Maybe just from a time with somebody on the campus. The Lord's always wanting to reveal Himself in us. All the time, revelation upon revelation, so that we could be brought into the experience of Christ actually living in us.
Amen.
In a very practical, day-by-day way. Now, God's heart's desire, the desire of God's heart, is to reveal His Son in us, that we may know Him, receive Him as our life, and become the sons of God. Receive Him, know Him, receive Him, and become the sons of God. This is God's heart's desire. When we begin to know Him, this subjective knowing is the revealing of Him. As He's revealed to us, we begin to know Him. As He enters into us as life, we begin to see. There's a song and a verse from Psalm 34:6, 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. As you actually experience the Lord in you as life, there is also a seeing. There's some revelation. Wow. If you just hear about a Big Mac and all the ingredients for years and years, but you never ate one, you don't really see. But once that Big Mac enters into you, oh, now I see. There's a realization. So this matter of Christ being revealed in us and experienced by us, they really, really go together. They really go together. John 1:12 says, "But as many as receive him, to them he gave the authority to be called children of God." Because why? Why are we the children of God? Because we have the life of God.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I'm so happy tonight to be a child of God.
Amen.
I love my dad and mom. They both have gone to be with the Lord, Harry and Mabel. I love them. And they ended their life in the church life. But I'm not just a son of Harry and Mabel. I'm a son of God.
Amen.
You better celebrate for about 10 seconds with your neighbor. I'm a son of God. When we received him, we received the divine life. If you have the life of God, you have become a child of God. We have become sons of God.
Amen.
This is wonderful. And in chapter 4, it mentions, because we're sons of God, we're able to call God Father. Abba, Father. God is our daddy. I love my daddy. I read a little bit to you last night of that email from Ethiopia, but the way they signed it off, I can't remember exactly the wording, but it said, "From our source, the God of Abraham." In other words, they realize we're all just sons of God, all out of the seed of Abraham, which is just Christ, to make us all sons of God. Christ is the Son of God. Now this one has been reproduced by becoming life to us. Now B, the focal point, so God's desire, God's heart desire, the focal point of the Bible is not practice, doctrines, or ordinances. It is the living person of the Son of God. It's the living person of the Son of God who is the embodiment of the triune God, realized as the all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit in our spirit for us to religiously worship, for us to enjoy Him,
Amen.
Partake of His riches, and live Him.
Amen.
So we need to be clear. The focal point of the Bible is not things, not matters, not persons. It's the living person of the Son of God. The focal point of this whole training is not this or that, but the living person of the Son of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I treasure this ministry through our dear brothers, Brother Nee and Brother Lee, who are standing on the shoulders of many other dear brothers through the centuries. But why? Not because we want to uplift Brother Lee, but because these brothers have pointed us to the focal point
Amen.
Of the Bible.
Amen.
That's why we're happy.
Amen.
Saving us from doctrines, practices, ordinances, to the living person of the Son of God.
Amen.
That's why we're happy.
Amen.
Our heart is burning.
Amen.
Because we've gotten saved from doctrines. What if I was on the plane with that guy and all I had was doctrines? Well, I think if we die, you know, if you believe, we might have a chance. Help! So, brothers and sisters, thank the Lord for the ministry of the age, not uplifting itself, not uplifting Witness Lee to be worshipped or Brother Nee. No! But uplifting the living person
Amen.
Of the Son of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
This is wonderful. To enjoy Him and partake of His riches and live Him. Look at all those awesome verses. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 3, 4, 5, 17. The Lord is the Spirit.
Amen.
When you touch this Spirit, freedom.
Amen.
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 Freedom from religion.
Amen.
The freedom from religion is not just making up your mind. It's in the Spirit. Galatians, Philippians 1, we mentioned this morning. Oh, I know that for me, whatever circumstance I'm in will turn out to salvation through your petition and this wonderful, bountiful supply
Amen.
Of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And under any circumstances, Paul said, verse 20, my earnest expectation and my hope is that in not one thing I would be put to shame. Not one thing I'd be put to shame. But with all boldness, as always, even right now,
Amen.
Christ would be magnified in my body.
Amen.
Whether through good times or bad times, death or life. For to me, to live is Christ.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, for to me, to live is Christ.
Amen.
How's this possible? Galatians 6:18. It's mentioned there. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.
Amen.
This wonderful Christ has become the all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit. And where is He? He is grace with our spirit. What's grace? Somebody boldly stand up and give us a definition of grace. A working, living definition of grace. Anybody? Good. Okay, go try. Amen. Very good.
Process trying God to be enjoyed by man.
Amen. Amen. Very good. Both are good. It's this wonderful triune God in Christ as the Spirit coming into us to be our life and our life supply for our enjoyment.
Amen.
When you're supplied, you can go through anything. He's our life and our life supply bountifully. So, you two both got an A. And the A means, Amen! Look at this next point. In the eyes of God, there's no place for religion or tradition. Only the living person of His Son has a place. God only cares for this living person, not for anything else. Brothers and sisters, Colossians 1:18 is wonderful. It indicates that Christ is the firstborn from the dead. He's the head of the body. He's everything in the old creation. He's everything in the new creation. But the way 18 ends is that He might have first place in all things. He might have the preeminence. In God's eyes, there's no place for religion or tradition. Only the living person of Christ.
Right.
Amen. He is the preeminent one, and preeminent means He's everything. In the Old Testament, you know, when the children of Israel were led out of Egypt, remember? The Lord helped them to get out of there. What happened? The last plague that came was the death angel came to kill all the firstborn Egyptians. The firstborn son among the Egyptians, in principle, the firstborn meant all the sons. Because the firstborn was so important to them. So to kill them was to kill the whole situation among the Egyptians. So Christ is not only His being the firstborn from the dead, the head of the body, the church, the preeminent one, means He's not only number one, He's everything. He's everything. He's everything. So in the eyes of God, there's no place for anything but this living person. Who knows Colossians 3, 10, and 11? I'll just tell you real quick. It just means, it says, put on the new man. And then in 11 it says, where there cannot be. The church is likened to a large corporate person. But it says, where there cannot be Greek or Jew or barbarian or slave or bond or free, but Christ is all and in all.
Amen.
Christ is everything in the church. He's the constituent of the one new man. Now, number two, there is no comparison between Christ as the Son of the living God and Judaism with its dead traditions handed down from its forefathers. No comparison. No comparison. Three, without this living person as the reality and content of the church life, even the church life will become a tradition. Brothers and sisters, this is where we have to be careful. Even our church life as a young person can become a tradition. How about we all pray, Lord Jesus, save me from tradition.
Lord Jesus, save me from tradition.
And how about, Lord Jesus, save me from religion. Lord Jesus, save me
from religion.
Which means we want to be saved into the unique, wonderful, living person of Christ Himself. The church is the body of this person. What's the church? The church is the body of this person. When Paul was knocked to the ground, his face is in the dirt, he's hearing the voice, but inwardly he's watching Channel 1, Heavenly TV. The Lord is revealing God's Son, His Son into him as everything. He was realizing that even this Christ is just expanded. What's the church? The church is Christ getting bigger. It's Jesus enlarged. So the church is the body of this person, his fullness, and his practical and living expression. Just recently in the conference, some of you weren't there, but we used illustration, when we enjoy all the riches of America, and eventually all the food riches, then you become the fullness. And I used Josiah, Vincent. So, and he was 320 pounds when he played football, so a pretty good-sized guy. But a good illustration. The more you enjoy the riches, the more you become the fullness. But it's nothing like the fullness of Christ. The more we enjoy Christ, calling on Him, loving Him, exercising our spirit, opening to Him, the more we are filled up with His riches, with all of His unsearchable riches, and the result is we become His fullness. If there's fullness, what if I had Josiah Vincent? Okay, Josiah Vincent, if he were here, stand up here. And there's something you can just barely see, a thread. I think that's not the fullness. Well, our wonderful Christ, God's desire is that this Christ would have His fullness that fills all and in all, the whole universe. And because of Christ getting into us, Christ lives in me.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor again, Christ lives in me.
Christ lives in me.
For what purpose? For His fullness.
Amen.
These verses here in Ephesians mention that the church is the fullness of the one who fills all in all. And Ephesians 3:8 touches that Christ is unsearchably, untraceably rich. There's no limit to this Christ. He is love, He is light, He's patience. One time, Brother Nee and Brother Lee were talking, and I love this testimony. Brother Nee said to Brother Lee, said, "Witness, what is patience?" And I don't remember if Brother Lee actually ever answered. But eventually, Brother Nee just said, "Witness, patience is Christ." You know, many times when we pray for things, oh, Lord, it's especially with my roommate, give me more patience. And our thought is that the Lord would send us something called patience. Okay, what you need a little package of patience. Oh, Lord, give me more patience. I need more love. God doesn't give packages. God only gives us Himself in His Son.
Amen.
God only gives us Christ.
Amen.
Because He is patience.
Amen.
He's love. He's endurance. Amen.
Amen.
He's everything. When Paul and Silas were in prison, and Paul was in prison many times, they didn't pray. We want superpower to jump out of this prison. You know, many times that's what we want. We want to be able to let people know who we are by jumping over the Empire State Building. So, no. But Paul said, I have learned the secret.
Amen.
I can do all things in the one who empowers me.
Amen.
We think many times, empowers me, wow, that means I can just smash through this thing. But what it means to be empowered is it means you experience Christ in your circumstance, so that no matter what circumstance you're in, Christ is expressed.
Amen.
Victoriously. And Satan is really put to shame. So by enjoying all the riches of Christ, we become His fullness, which is His expression. His expression. Now, this C is awesome, brothers and sisters. In God's New Testament economy, we should look away unto Jesus.
Amen.
Look away, oh look away. Look to Jesus now today. Look away from everything unto Jesus. Look away from everything to Him. To see in Mark 9:8, Jesus only. Jesus only. And then it mentions no one except Jesus only. Listen to this. No one except Jesus only should remain in the church or the New Testament. Wow! That's a strong statement. No one except Jesus only should remain in the church or the New Testament. This is a speaking by Witness Lee, indicating there's no room for Witness Lee in the church. There's no room for Dick Taylor. There's no room for Brian Adamo. There's only room for Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus only.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
No room in the church. No one except Jesus only should remain in the church or the New Testament. The New Testament becomes a different book when we see it's a book of Jesus only.
Right.
Otherwise, you're distracted by so many matters, things, and persons. Hallelujah for the book that gives us Jesus only.
Amen.
The church life should be a life that displays, a life that displays Jesus only. It doesn't display Jew. It doesn't display Greek. It doesn't display Chinese, it doesn't display American, it doesn't display Korean, it doesn't display white, black, it just displays Christ.
Amen.
This is wonderful. And here we come to Acts 9, 4, and 5, which is the vanquishing conversion of Paul, which we already read. Because there's no room in the church or the New Testament for anything but Jesus only, 1 Corinthians 12:12. I hope all of you could learn this verse. Anyway, somebody look that up and read it to us. Stand up and read it to us with their spirit. And we'll say, Amen. Okay. Good. Josh.
For even as the body is one,
Amen.
It has many members.
Amen.
And all the members of the body.
Amen.
Many are one body.
Amen.
So also is the Christ.
Amen. Thank you, brother. So this verse indicates not only is Christ the head of the body, but Christ is also the body of the head. When you touch the body, Well, come on up, Josh. Well, here's Josh, okay? Josh is not just the head, but Josh is, that's all Josh. So I punch Josh in the arm. He doesn't say, "Don't hit my arm." What's he say? "Don't hit me." That's part of him. Who are we? We're members of Christ. Amen. Members of the body of Christ. So Christ is the head of the body. Christ is the body of the head. Amen. There's only room for Christ. Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. And then that verse in Colossians again about the new man, where there's no room for anyone except Christ himself as the unique constituent. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, what's the main point? Roman numeral 1. Look away, look away, and look to Jesus now today. Look away from everything unto Jesus. Look away from everything. Look away from everything to what? To Him. To Him. To Him, to Christ. Now, number two, nothing is more pleasing, entertaining, satisfying to God than the unveiling and the revelation of the living person, the living person of the Son of God in us.
Amen.
The living person of the Son of God in us. And here are these verses in Galatians, but when it pleased God, 15a, 16a, to reveal His Son in me.
Amen.
The revelation of His Son in me is a great matter. And it's the key to our real experience of Christ lives in me. This is based on His being revealed in us. And we'll touch these other verses as we go on. A, Christ is God's beloved, God's favorite, God's entertainment, God's amusement, God's Super Bowl, God, whatever people enjoy. This is God's, this is it. Christ is God's beloved, God's favorite, God's delight. He's the one who replaces everyone and everything. Amen. And we illustrated last night from Matthew 17, where the Lord was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, and the disciples, especially Peter, took the lead when he saw the miracle of Moses and Elijah, one having been dead about 1,000 years and one about 1,500 years, something like that. What a miracle! He gets excited, said, puts them all on the same level. Let's pitch a tent for Moses, Elijah, Jesus. But there's no room in the church or in the New Testament for anyone but Jesus only.
Amen.
And they had to have a strong revelation. There had to be a strong revelation so they could be converted. They could be converted from the law and from the prophets. And to realize Christ is everything.
Amen.
Christ is the fulfillment of the law, and Christ is the fulfillment of the prophets.
Amen.
In God's economy, Christ is everything. And when they looked up after this experience, what did they say? What did they see? They didn't see anyone but Jesus Himself alone. Jesus Himself alone. We want to be those who see nothing but Jesus Himself alone.
Amen.
This is His desire. God's desire, because this is God's favorite. This is God's delight. This is God's beloved. Is just His Son, who is just Him. Remember, God's Son is just Him. When the Lord was here, He just said, "I and the Father are one. When you see me, you see the Father." Now, B, the more inward, subjective revelation we receive of the Son of God, the more He will live in us. So His living in us depends upon the inward, subjective revelation. The more He lives in us, the more He will become to us the reality of the all-inclusive land as the blessing of Abraham. We mentioned that this morning. The blessing of the all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
We enjoy Him as everything. Well, what's the key to this enjoyment and this living in us? It's the inward, subjective revelation of the Son of God. So this is where the revelation of God's Son in us is so critical. We all want to be those who can say with boldness and progressively, Christ lives in me.
Amen.
We don't want to say Christ lived in me 2 weeks ago. Oh yeah, He did live in me 2 weeks ago. Or He lived in me for a while. But I tell you, if you have that sense, it's because the revelation is not fresh. The more He's revealed in us, the more He can live in us. And I can't help but, brothers and sisters, some of you may not be familiar with it, but in the Old Testament, there's a book called Job. And Job was apparently a very godly, holy, very religious man. He was very religious. I mean, he was really religious. When I first became a Christian, I was facing some difficult things. And I was at the University of Pittsburgh, and our first game that year was going to be UCLA in the Rose Bowl in 1960. And we were going to fly out. That was not the Rose Bowl of the Rose Bowl, but that's where they play their games. So that was the first game of the year, nationally televised. This is a big thing in 1960. So as we're preparing for the game, and I was going to be able to play and everything, you know what happened to me? I broke out with boils all over my legs. I had boils. And there was a staph infection in the locker room, and some others got it. Eventually, the doctor said, you can't go. I said, I couldn't go. Oh, my heart was broken. Second game was West Virginia. Couldn't go to that one. Third one was Michigan State. Couldn't go to that one. Finally, the doctor said, you're out for the whole season. Because it wasn't clearing up. So what did I do? I went home to my room. My roommate was a football player. And I just began to read. And then he and I got down on our knees and prayed. And I had tears. But I really thanked the Lord I read the book of Job. Because I remembered something about Job got boils. So I read the book of Job, and I got saved. Because at the end of chapter 1:21, Job came up with at least this conclusion, which saved me for 8 years. He said, what do you say about going through all these boils and having that kind of experience and so disappointing and blah, 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 blah? Job said, naked came out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord's taken away. He gave me the opportunity to play. And He took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That kept me. I said, wow! I don't know why I got boils. I don't know why I couldn't play. I don't know why I'm out for the whole year. But thank the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So I loved those boils. Because I gained God.
Amen.
I got a little bit of revelation through Job's experience. But sorry to say, Job was a hard head just like us. He needed much more revelation. The Lord was trying to help him to get through and to open up.
Amen.
And to see God, to realize God, have revelation concerning God. But then he and his friends joined in to help him with all the things that were happening to him negatively. And as some of the brothers have mentioned, Job and his three friends became a non-vital group. Not praying for one another, not caring for... They were just there complaining and murmuring and reasoning and speaking against God. Why did God do this? And why did he do... And why... And you can imagine, what's the result? Exercising their wonderful satanic intelligence. And the result was nothing but death. But what does Job say at the end of his experience after 41 chapters of just mouthing off? That's what he was doing, but we need it. In verse 42, chapter 42, verse 5, Job finally said, "Wow, I heard you, capital Y, God. I heard you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye has seen you. Therefore, I hate myself, and I repent in dust and ashes." Finally, he saw.
Amen.
Revelation changed him.
Amen.
And God became somebody he could really experience. The key to experience is revelation. The more we see, the more we enjoy and experience this dear one. So the more inward subjective revelation we receive of the Son of God, the more He'll live in us. The more He lives in us, the more He'll become to us the reality of the all-inclusive land as the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of the all-inclusive life-giving Spirit. I'd already read that, but then we can say, Galatians 2:20, which two sisters up here were speaking, I think, earlier on the test. And we need to, how about we sing the first part of that song again? I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that liveth, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life which Jasper lived, in the lush I live in faith, the faith of the Son of God,
who gave himself up for me.
And I guess we better keep going. And now I'm singing in the Spirit, step by step, day by day. Hey, Lord, I love you. You're the precious one to me. As I do this and that, Lord, remind me where you're at. You're in my spirit, dispensing grace to me. So the revelation issues in Christ living in us. This Christ is the Spirit.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I still like, I almost every training, I almost sing it. But don't you love hymn 1017? That's my favorite. Christ has put on human nature and become a man like me. He has died upon the cross that I from which free. He has risen and his spirit. He has come to live in me that he might be my glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. For Christ is now my life. There's a lot of revelation just in that little song.
Amen.
Who is Christ? He's not the God far away. He's the God who became a man.
Amen.
He's the God who died on the cross.
Amen.
He's the God who was raised.
Amen.
He's the God who became the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
He's the God who's come into Travis to be Travis's life.
Amen.
How about we all shout, hallelujah, Christ is my life.
Hallelujah! Christ is my life!
Oh. God's revealing of His Son in us, to us, is in us. It is not outward, but inward. Not by an outward vision, but by an inward seeing. Not by an objective revelation, but a subjective one. Brothers and sisters, to really see comes from hearing. You know, faith is a matter of really seeing. Romans 10, I think it's 17, it says, faith comes through hearing. In the book of Galatians, there's some messages given in the life studies about faith. And I think it's in the life study of Galatians. It was a great help to me. At one message, there are 12 definitions of faith. 12 definitions of faith. The first one is hearing. How does revelation come? First by hearing. Wow, when you hear about this one? And the second definition, guess what it was? Appreciation. To see is to appreciate. To see is to appreciate. Then it goes on to believe, to receive, to enjoy. And ultimately, number 12 is praise. It's a definition of faith. But to appreciate. Seeing is appreciating. You know, I'd heard for years that Jesus, you know, God in Christ had become a man. But all the stories were just stories. I never really appreciated his humanity. This God-man. Like, until I came under this ministry and heard many messages. And this was a great, great help to me. And especially you see things like Luke 2, Jesus, even as a 12-year-old. A 12-year-old, not 18, not 17, but 12. 12-year-old. He got separated from his parents for 3 days. His mother was angry. They went back, found him, and he was in the temple, in the outbuildings, speaking to all the PhD religious leaders. And the literal Greek says he had them in a state of mental imbalance. They could not believe a 12-year-old like this. He was just awesome. But at the same time, when his parents did appear, says he subjected himself to them in complete obedience. When they showed up, he could have just said, Mom and Dad, why don't you get lost? Don't you know who I am? I'm the Son of God. But God needed a model pattern man. And he was a man who exhibited God in every iota of his humanity and even perfect and complete obedience. Anyway, when you appreciate him, you realize him. Amen. There's a seeing just from appreciating. So seeing comes from hearing, and hearing means we appreciate him. D. If we... Now, here's the key. Here's the key in conclusion, brothers and sisters. How can we be people who are continually enjoying God's Son being revealed in us so that we could experience his living in us? If we drop our concepts... Brothers and sisters, how many of you are loaded with concepts? How many of you need to repent every day? How many, even you're in the church life or you're under this ministry, you can just pick up things in a kind of doctrinal way. We got to be very careful. Right. Every day we need a fresh repentance. Amen. Dropping our concepts, not just holding doctrinal knowledge. But we would drop our concepts, turn our heart to the Lord.
Amen.
In other words, the Lord Jesus would have our attention. He would have our attention. Never in the history of mankind has there been a day or an age so distracting as ours. I tell you, this is the most difficult age probably of all the ages. To live Christ. Because of all the distractions. All the distractions. But the key is that we would be those who take the lead to turn our heart. I tell you, wherever your heart is, that's where you are. You may be in the room, but if your heart's not here, you're not here. You're not here. So check with your neighbor. Neighbor, are you here? You may be here, but not here. You're somewhere else. So, moment by moment, we need our heart turned to God's favorite.
Amen.
God's delight.
Amen.
Which is the living person of Christ. And pay attention. How many of you have trouble with paying attention? Do you think Peter and the disciples, when they were with Jesus, had trouble too? A lot of trouble. You know, many times, I mean, if I were Jesus, probably I'd say, "Ted Hunt!" Something to wake these guys up. Drop our concepts, turn our heart to the Lord, pay attention to the mingled spirit, and spend time in the Word. In a spirit and atmosphere of prayer, Christ will be revealed in us.
Amen.
Everybody that wants Christ revealed in you a little more, say amen.
Amen.
This is the key. He's revealed in us, live in us, and be formed in us. And these are the verses from Galatians. Revealed in us, lived in us, and formed in us. So that Christ can be very experiential to us in our daily life. I like this, you know. Well, let's get into the details. Now these points just break this up, break this down a little bit. We must drop our concepts. Every concept, whether spiritual or carnal, is a veil. This inward revelation is in our spirit through our enlightened mind. Ephesians 1:17 is that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may grant to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of Him, the eyes of your heart having been enlightened. Brothers and sisters, all of us have two physical eyes. But there are eyes in us that are called the eyes of our heart.
Amen.
If the eyes of our heart are not turned to the Lord, the veil's not taken away, we cannot see. The revelation is impossible. So when we say eyes, we see seeing. We're not talking about just our physical eyes. No. We're talking about the eyes of our heart.
Amen.
For some of you who are new, what is our heart? We have a physical heart. It's beating right now. But we have a psychological heart composed of our mind, our emotion, our will, with our conscience, which is the leading part of our spirit. So our heart is very critical. To be able to see Christ, to be able to have Christ as God's favorite revealed in me, that I can see Him and realize Him, I need my heart adjusted. I need my heart turned, which involves my mind, my emotion, my will, and my conscience. My conscience needs to be purified. Nothing between me and the Lord. My mind needs to be sober. My emotion should be loving Him. And my will submissive to Him. This is to turn our heart. This is to turn our heart. When the Lord spoke, the first big speaking the Lord Jesus ever did publicly, you know what it was? It was in Matthew 5. And verse 8, He said, "Blessed, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see." They shall see God.
Amen.
Not with their outward eyes, but in their inward realization. God becomes real to them. Blessed are the pure in heart. Their mind is sober, their emotion is loving, their will is submissive, and their conscience is cleansed and purified. So this is a very great matter. We must drop our concepts. Every concept, okay, whether spiritual or carnal, is a veil. So the heart, brothers and sisters, needs to be turned to the Lord. Turned away from all our concepts and all kinds of things that the Lord could help us to be enlightened. You know, Luke 24:45 is also a great verse to help us to see what enlightened or also revelation actually means. 24:45. This is a wonderful verse. Jesus was speaking to these two unbelieving disciples. He'd been speaking to them, but by his speaking to them, it says their eyes were opened inwardly. And they began to realize who he was. And their inward eyes are related to verse 45. Then he opened their mind to understand the scriptures. This indicates our inward eyes are even related to our understanding. The revealing of God's Son in us means there's a fresh understanding and appreciation, even affecting our thinking. Now, number two, we must turn our heart to the Lord. The more we turn our heart to the Lord, the less ground the god of this age, that's Satan. Satan is called the god of this age. We'll have in our life and in our being, and we will be under the shining of the heavenly light to receive the inward revelation of this living person.
Amen.
So the more we turn our heart to the Lord, brothers and sisters, the more, the less ground the god of this age has in us. What is... Ask your neighbor, hey neighbor, what is the best way to turn your heart to the Lord? And get an answer from your neighbor. What'd your neighbor say? Yeah, okay, that's definitely correct. Definitely correct. But I would go further. Even more. Oh, Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus, I love you.
There's a footnote that helps us in Revelation 2:4, which says, the Lord, the Spirit was speaking to Ephesus. He said, I have one thing against you. It's major. You are very busy. You're renowned for this and this, and you did this and this and this, but I have a major thing against you. You have left your first love. And in the footnote, there's a sentence that I treasure. It's a great help to me. It says, nothing but love can keep us in a proper relationship with the Lord. So tell your neighbor, neighbor, nothing but love can keep us in a proper relationship with the Lord. Brothers and sisters, hey, I've been married for 45 years, just humanly. Nothing but love can keep you in a proper relationship with your spouse. Duty, religious duty, requirement, all that stuff. All those are maybe nice little, you know, things you have to do, you have to do, you have to do, you have to do, but nothing but love. Nothing but love can keep you in a proper relationship with your spouse. Nothing. Nothing. And this is only a shadow. How about with Christ? So the key to his being revealed in us is that our heart would really be turned to him. Okay, if we drop our concepts... Oh, sorry, we must drop... Okay, we must turn our heart to the Lord. The more we turn our heart to the Lord, the less ground the god of this age has. How many of you would like to take the ground away in your heart from Satan, the god of the age.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I tell you, nothing but love can take the ground away like nothing but love can do such a job. To love the Lord takes ground away. If I tell you if there's a problem between two spouses, I tell you, love takes the ground away from the breaking up of that marriage. There can be this agreement, that agreement, but if love is there, it'll never hold. Right? Okay. Now, so there's that verse, whenever the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. And we won't sing it now, but I would love to, you know, 1347, whenever the heart shall turn, 13 somewhere. Anyway, the veil shall be taken away.
Amen.
So the best way to turn our heart is we love Him.
Amen.
I tell you, when you love somebody, your heart goes there. Love and heart go together. A heart is related to love. We must care for and pay attention to our spirit.
Amen.
It is in our spirit that the Spirit is shining,
Amen.
Revealing Christ in us, and speaking to us concerning Christ. So again, you come to this verse in Ephesians 1:17. Oh, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of Him. The revealing of Christ in us is related to our spirit. Brothers and sisters, I've been so helped by coming into the Lord's recovery. And the Lord's recovery, when we use that terminology, it does not mean the name of our church. It's not an organization. It's not a movement. It's God's move to bring us back to Himself.
Amen.
Back to the beginning. Back to Himself. And to His heart's desire, which is the church.
Amen.
This is the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
This is the Lord's recovery. The key to our enjoying the revelation of Christ is to be in our spirit. Christ, who is the big S spirit, where is He today? He is now mingled with you in your spirit.
Amen.
The more you pay attention to your spirit, surely the more He can be revealed in you. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, something like that, it says this. It says, there are two kinds of men, two kinds of Christians. You know what are the two kinds? Soulish and spiritual. Soulish and spiritual. What kind of Christian do you want to be? Soulish or spiritual?
Spiritual.
And a spiritual Christian, listen, a spiritual Christian is somebody who is dominated, controlled, led, directed, and governed by His Spirit.
Amen.
A soulish person is somebody who's led, directed, governed, controlled by His soul. I tell you, when Peter was with Jesus in Matthew 16, he realized in verse 16, the Lord said, "Who am I?" Peter answered, "A+, you are the Christ,
Amen.
Son of the living God." But a few verses later, after the Lord opened the church, the matter of the church, then the Lord told the disciples, "I have to go away. I will have to go through death. And after 3 days, I will be raised." Peter opened up his soul. And he screamed at the Lord. He said, "God be merciful to you. Don't do that." He was stopping Christ in His divine process. And the Lord turned to him and He said, "Get behind me, nice guy. Get behind me, person that's not behaving well." You know what He said? "Get behind me, Satan. For your mind is not on the things of God, but on the things of men." Peter was, on one moment he had revelation because he was taking care of his spirit. The next moment he was in his soul. And the Lord said, if you love your soul, you'll lose it. You're a loser. So if we want revelation, let's pay attention to our spirit.
Amen.
And the more you pay attention to your spirit, the more your soul can be set on the spirit and become very useful as a vessel to express this person. Revelation 1:10, brothers and sisters, says, I was in spirit on the Lord's day. Brothers and sisters, what day is today? Wednesday, right? But every day you're in the spirit, it's the Lord's day. The whole day changes whenever you're in your spirit because you're enjoying the revelation of Christ. It makes it the Lord's day. Okay, then we drop our concepts, turn our heart to the Lord, pay attention to the Spirit, and spend time in the Word in a spirit and atmosphere of prayer. We must pray, read the Word. Pray, read the Word. Ephesians 6, 17 and 18 said, we take the Word, which is the sword of the Spirit, by means of all kinds of praying, praying at every time in spirit. So, brothers and sisters, this should be our practice. Take the Word of God with much prayer. I've given this testimony, but I still appreciate the experience and the Lord helping us. When the first time I heard about pray reading, it wasn't new to me. I didn't hear the term pray reading because when I was in college, before I touched the church life, there was a young man who was invited to our school, and as quite a few young people at this meeting on a hot Sunday afternoon, Lord's Day afternoon. And in this room was kind of hot. People were sleepy. And anyway, this person was speaking. And he was speaking about what he had found to be the best way to really enjoy the Lord. He didn't use the word enjoy, but experience the Lord in the Bible. And he took us to Joshua. His name is Joshua. He took us to Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall muse, and the word there was meditate, upon it day and night, so that you may be certain to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have success. Have not I commanded you? Be strong, Joshua, and take courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for Jehovah your God is with you wherever you go. When you muse on God's word, then you can be strong, courageous. Come forward, because you're energized. You're enjoying Christ. Christ is revealed in you, so Christ could live in you. By taking time in your spirit with prayer over His Word. So he said that day, he says, what does the word meditate mean? Everybody's here. I don't know what. But for some reason, the Lord made me listen. And he said, I believe meditate means to pray over God's Word. And I did that. And eventually, my wife, I had just been married, my wife and I started to practice this. And we were resident advisors for 90 freshman boys in a dorm. So a lot of them would come down to our room and we would practice. We had no idea what we're doing, but open up the Bible and just start praying with God's Word. But we began to touch something. Then later I touched the Lord's recovery and I heard about this word, pray reading. So by this time we were with a couple who had just been saved in the Lord. We were visiting them in married student housing where we were. And we said, let's try this. So we did it. We just went like this. Opened the Bible. Proverbs 30, 26 through 30. There are four small things on the earth, but they're exceedingly wise. The ants are a feeble folk, but they gather their food in the summer. Then it goes on, the rock badgers, the lizards, and the spiders. You say, are those good verses to pray read? Well, this is the Word of God.
Amen.
So we began to pray read. We didn't know what we were doing. Oh, there are four small things on the earth. Amen. Hallelujah, the ants.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, the ants.
Amen.
And the more we pray read, we were giggling. And everything. But I tell you, eventually, we just were so beside ourselves. The last verse is, the spiders end up in king's palaces. And we realized we ended up in the palace of King Jesus.
Amen.
And the rock badgers, the lizards, and the spiders, and the ants all became Christ. We were eating Jesus in the Word.
Amen.
Oh, because we touched the Spirit in the Word.
Amen.
Otherwise, those ants, rock badgers, lizards, and spiders. Anyway, even a lot tonight, even a lot every night before I go to bed, I usually try to at least read a chapter, and sometimes I'm laying in bed, and my wife, I've just been enjoying a lot lately, just praying audibly as I'm reading a chapter. If I'm too silent, you know, but praying audibly, just going over that, and just saying, amen, and calling on the Lord while I'm praying over the Bible. Oh, brothers and sisters, the Word becomes so. And my wife walked in the room, it was not a couple months ago, and she said, I really enjoy what you're doing. It just enlivened her to freshly practice. We both do some reading, you know, practice the reading, but just to exercise our spirit with a little bit of speaking, calling on His dear name.
Amen.
Wow, what happens? The Word becomes food.
Amen.
Your words were found and I did eat them.
Amen.
They became the joy and rejoicing of our heart rather than the dead doctrinal knowledge. About ants, rock badgers, lizards, and spiders. Oh, yeah, there's four small things.
Uh-huh.
Let's read E together, saints. Let's read E together. Go. We need to be full of the revelation of the Son of God. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
What's the key, saints? The key is practicing every day. Drop our concepts. Turn our heart to the Lord. Pay attention to the mingled spirit. Spending time in the Word in a spirit and atmosphere of prayer. Then Christ can be revealed in us, live in us, and be formed in us. And we can be those who are enjoying God's pleasure. God's pleasure, which is to reveal His Son in us.
Amen.
And what's the result of all this? The revelation of Christ? We become a new creation.
Amen.
Okay, ask your neighbor a question. Neighbor, what's the difference between the new creation and the old creation? In a simple way, because of time, I want to give the time to you to testify. The old creation means God is outside of it. New creation means God is inside.
Amen.
When Christ is outside, it's old. When Christ is in, it's new.
Amen.
Happy New Year. Amen.
Amen.
We get to enjoy Happy New Year every day.
Amen.
By allowing this Christ to fill us inwardly. Where there's no, not circumcision or uncircumcision, but a new creation.
Amen.
A new creation is a people who are filled with Christ.
Amen.
Jesus alone.
Amen.
That's new. Apart from Jesus, everything is old. So tell your neighbor, neighbor, let's get filled with Jesus.
Amen.
Otherwise, neighbor, you are very old. Look away, oh look away, look away. look to Jesus now today. Look away from everything. Whoever wants to share. Everything to Him. Brothers and sisters, the revelation of God's Son in us is the key to Christ living in us.
Amen.
You better declare your badge to your neighbor 2 times. Christ lives in me. Christ
lives in me.
But the key is Christ being revealed in me.
Amen.
Day by day, it's your turn to share.